Bobby Kirshner. All right. Thank you so much for your patience.
Thanks, buddy. That was a great update. I know most of the people that were on that trip, and I hadn't heard that update yet, so that was really fantastic. And I just want to say good morning to all of you. So good morning. Okay, we're going to need to do a little better than that. So I'm going to give you one more shot because I'm new here. This is my first time, and it's going to make just me feel a whole lot more relaxed if we're going to do this in like a really, really friendly way. So good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, man, we're off to a way better start so far. So I do want to just say a welcome from Big Valley Grace Community Church. If you can imagine, we gather as a staff team before our services. So 5:15 on Saturday night and 8:15 in the morning on Sunday morning. And part of what we do in our prayer time is we pray for the churches in our county, in our area. And regularly we're praying for Renew Church. And it's really cool to be having been prayed for a church for a long time and then to actually get to be in your fellowship is really, really special. So just want to say a special greeting from Big Valley Grace. Just know that we pray for you often. And it's really special to know that really we're co-laborers in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so there's a special affinity that we feel with our brothers and sisters in the Lord all over this county and all over the world. But this is really, really a treat for me to get to be here. I'm going to ask if you've brought a Bible, if you would take that out at this time. And I know that there's Bibles being handed out. I went and checked them out. They're really good Bibles. I took five. They're really, really good. So if you don't have a Bible, make sure that you take one of these. And I know that the church here, if you don't have a copy yourself, would love for you to keep this copy so you can be in the Word of God regularly. This morning, I'm going to be sharing a message from Philippians. I know that you guys started a new series in Philippians last week. And Pastor David, I enjoyed watching that message. And I went back and watched Wreck-It Ralph because I hadn't seen it in a while. And so that was really fun. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 1, verses 7 through 11. And I'm going to pick up right where David left off with his message entitled, God Will Finish His Work in Us. And I'm just going to read verse 6 real quick, and then I'll have a stand in a moment as we read today's passage. But verse 6 says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." And I just want you to know, I was personally encouraged last week by the message that Pastor David did. And it's always a good reminder that when God reminds us, he's not finished with us yet. Okay, he's not finished with you. He's not finished with me. He's not finished with Renew Church. We are all a work in progress, okay? Okay, it was really quiet right there. So we're going to do that again. Remember the good morning thing? There was a good morning. And like, are you not grateful that you are a work in progress? God is not finished with you yet. Amen, okay? I am not a charismatic person, but I can tell I am more than you. So we're going to work on this together. And by the way, I was reminded that you do have a baptism today, but this does not have anything to do with your baptism. Okay? It was great to be greeted with knowing that you guys are not a sprinkled church. So I like that. Okay. So as I was saying, it's a great encouragement to me to know that God's not finished with me yet. Because I realize that I am a work in progress and there's a lot of things. I see some familiar faces. And so some of you that I know I've got work to do still. And yet I'm super encouraged to know that God's going to continue to do his work in me until he has completed that work, and he will complete that work. And so I'm going to ask if you'd stand right now, and I'm going to begin by reading from verse 7 through verse 11. And so let's read. I'll read out loud and you can read along with me, starting in verse 7. "So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I love knowing that any time we read your scripture, that we are hearing from you directly. And Father, I just would pray that this morning as we gather the fellowship of believers, Father, that we would hear from you directly, that your Holy Spirit would take the words from my mouth and do whatever it is that you intended for each one of us, knowing that you are not finished with us yet. And Father, I just thank you for Renew Church and the work that you are doing in and through this ministry. And I pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as I said, the title or of this message is The Encouragement, The Reminder, and The Challenge. And so I'm going to begin with the encouragement. And verses 7 and 8, oftentimes when I read through scripture, especially at the beginning of a letter, I tend to kind of go through these parts kind of quick. It kind of feels like the, hey, it's good to see you, remember this, I love you, and blah, 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 sometimes rings through my head. And I really took the time, as I should more often, to really kind of focus in on those first two verses and not skip straight into verse 9, which feels more like the meat of this little part to me. But when you look at the encouragement that Paul gives in these first two verses, I want to stop there for a second. So let me go back to verse 7. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. And I read that over and over and over this last week, and I had to answer the question of where did this sentiment from Paul come from? Do I have this sentiment about my church? Do I have this sentiment about the fellowship that I worship with? This is a really, really special, special feeling that Paul is extending here. And as it relates to Renew Church, just for a minute, I want to encourage you that you too can have this sentiment about the people that you worship with. And there's a few areas that I would ask you to consider that allowed Paul to have this sentiment. This doesn't just come from a one-time moment or he was with you one time. This clearly comes from fellowship, from regular fellowship. And one of the things that I want to encourage you with is how important it is to gather like this regularly. I want you to think about a week, 168 hours in a week. 168 hours in a week. And for about an hour and a half, for 2 hours, what happens? The church that has been scattered, okay, the church, you and I, we've been scattered all over the community all week long. And then there's this special moment that we gather together. It's kind of like a huddle, okay? You think about a football team, and man, before we're going to go out and run our plays for the week, we better gather. We better huddle up. We better worship together. We better hear a message together. We better fellowship with one another before we go spend another 166 hours of the week being the church all over the community. But I'll tell you what, I want to encourage you to really commit. Commit to coming to church weekly. As you look at your schedule, make it something that you work the rest of your week around. Remember, God gave us the Sabbath as a gift. It was for us. And it's a great opportunity to worship together and to rest together. Also, when it comes to coming to church, I imagine Paul wasn't one of those guys that said, hey, I'm just going to come to church. But I imagine he kind of got his hands dirty. He got all in. One of the ways that this affection, this idea of being able to say you have a special place in my heart is because it comes from when we actually serve, we get involved. It's a great way to grow community together when we actually serve together. I saw a slide with a whole bunch of service opportunities. And it's real easy to see that and go, that's really great for somebody else. I'm really glad that somebody else is going to step up and do that. But here you have an opportunity to serve. You've been given time. You've been given talent. You've been given treasure. And this is an opportunity to look out for the interests of others. This is an opportunity to value others ahead of yourself. And I know Renew Church really values living in community, living in a small group. As beautiful as this time is, this 2 hours with all these people in a room, and it's beautiful, there's no way that you're really going to be able to get to know each other in this special, special way without living in community, without living in a small group. And I just want to encourage you in one of those areas that maybe today, that you would consider taking a next step. Maybe it's committing to come to church more regularly. Maybe it's committing to get involved, to serve in a greater way. Maybe it's joining a small group and living with brothers and sisters in a tighter community where you can get to know each other in a really, really special way. Now, most of all, I want to tell you this. Everything I just mentioned, it's easy to feel like those are all have-tos. Oh man, there's another thing I got to do. I'm going to feel guilty if I don't do this. These are all have to's. Okay, I'll check off the box. I'll do my once a year. I'll do my once a month. I'll come to church twice a month because it's a have to. I want you to know these are all get to's. Okay, we this morning sang some songs about giving our worship to the Lord, that it's all about Jesus. And we have a chance with the 160 hours in our week that our life will actually communicate it's all about Jesus much beyond what we say or what we sing. These are great get-to moments because this and everything I just mentioned, it's about Jesus. It's about serving Jesus. It's not about us. And once we understand that, I think that it changes much. So I just want to encourage you, first of all, verses 7 and 8 should be read as an encouragement from Paul. And I want you as Renew Church to be able to have those same feelings, those same ability to be able to say, you have a special place in my heart. Well, I want to move on to verses 9 and 10 and move on from an encouragement to what I'm calling a reminder. The encouragement to the reminder. And Paul shifts at this moment in this letter. He set it up saying, hey, this is all about letting you know God's not done doing a work in us yet. He's going to finish the work in you and in I. Until Jesus comes back, he's not done yet. And now let me encourage you. Man, I've got a special place in my heart for you. And now he transitions into a reminder. Let's pick up in verse 9. I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding, for I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. Verse 9 says, I pray. Verse 10, for I want you to understand what really matters and why. I want to start with the why. Why is he praying this? The why, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. He's really, really clear about it. The why he's praying for you is because he wants you to live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. And why? Why would he want that? Well, I'm going to give you two pretty simple reasons. First reason, because it pleases the Lord. And honestly, that should be good enough. I never understood until I was a parent the phrase, because I said so. Now, sometimes when I say it, it's out of frustration, but sometimes it's just about obedience. I've got four kids that my wife and I have a responsibility to raise up in the ways of the Lord. And part of that is teaching, when mom or dad says so, that should be good enough. And when it comes to God's word, it should be good enough. We should do it just because it pleases the Lord. But there is another benefit. And that benefit is because how we live our lives is the greatest impact we have on others. And we got to see a wonderful example of a missions trip. And I hope you send more teams. I hope you send more teams into even more places. But I hope you do realize too, you are on mission every single day. And you are communicating something to the world, whether you know it or not. In all that you do in those 168 hours, you communicate something. And how you live your life will communicate much more than what you say. How we live our lives is the greatest impact that we have on others. It is the greatest overflow. And so let's talk about the overflow for a minute. The overflow is more the how. The why is because it pleases God and because this is how we have the greatest impact on others. But the how, it says in verse 9, I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. So I want to spend a few minutes talking about that overflow for a minute. And I brought a little bit of an example here. I'm really hoping that it goes okay. I know there's some things that are electrical up here and I'm a little nervous, but we'll see what happens. And to understand this idea of overflow for a minute, I want to start with this right here. This represents you and I. This is our lives. Okay, this is you and me. Right here, this is a pitcher of water. And this represents the Lord. Now, I've got three pitchers here. This is nothing to do with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's just I couldn't carry four, okay? Three pitchers that are filled with water. The only place that this illustration falls short a little bit is the water appears to have a finite supply, but God is infinite in his supply. So work with me there a little bit. But this right here represents us, our lives. This right here represents God and what he wants to pour into our lives. And this right here, this is going to represent the overflow. This is going to represent your families, your coworkers, your friends, your neighbors. The people that you do life with, the people that you have impact on. And so what's really, really interesting is every single day we have an opportunity to be poured into. Every time we choose to spend time with the Lord, we spend time in his word, we're just getting filled up. And we're just getting filled up. Man, we want to be filled up more? Man, we just go right back into the word. Woo. We're getting filled up some more. We're getting filled up some more. And the great thing is, the more we filled up, the more we fill up, at some point, look what happens. There's an overflow. And there's no limit. We just keep going back to the Lord, and there's more overflow, and there's more overflow, and there's more overflow. And I want you to notice what happens when we are getting filled up with the Lord. The overflow is getting all over those people that come around us. Well, what often happens is in life is, oh man, I had a really great time at church this week. Man, I'm all filled up. And man, the rest of the day, woo, you're overflowing. And man, you made good decisions at home and you had a great conversation with your neighbor. You're all fired up about going on the next missions trip. And you're pouring out into other people. And then you didn't even notice, whoa, you're on empty all of a sudden. God's supply didn't go away, but you ended up on empty. And man, It's a good reminder. Let's get filled up again. Let's get filled up. Let's get filled up. Oh, man, I need to get filled. Oh, man, I'm overflowing again. Oh, I'm overflowing with Jesus all over people. And then, oh, man, I'm overflowing, and I'm next thing you know, I find myself empty again. And sometimes this emptiness can go weeks, maybe months, where I'm empty. And what happens in a physical sense, you think about maybe an athlete for a second. What happens when an athlete doesn't continue to fill up on fluids? Ah, thank you. Wow. Yeah. I appreciate that. An athlete gets dehydrated. And what happens when an athlete gets dehydrated? They cramp up. Okay, they may not be able to finish the contest they're in. They may not be able to finish the race they're in. They end up in the medical tent for a while. They get sick. They have to get hooked up on an IV, get some fluids quick. The reality is when you're physically dehydrated, it really has a negative impact on your ability to be able to compete. Well, when it has to do with spiritual dehydration, there's a lot of similarities when you're spiritually dehydrated. Now, the interesting thing about when you're physically hydrated is you usually can't tell on a person until it's too late. In fact, I've often heard it said when it comes to dehydration, at the moment that you realize you're dehydrated, it's too late. Just having some water or some Gatorade isn't going to fix it at that point. You're probably going to need to hook up to an IV. Well, when it comes to spiritual dehydration, man, you might look great on the outside. You might look like you're filled up and everything just looks great. And yet you haven't allowed the Lord to continue to pour in and to pour in and to pour in. And what does that mean in terms of the impact that has on us? It really hurts our ability to have an overflow of Jesus on those who we come in contact with. And what is the primary way we grow? How does the cup that is our lives get filled up by God? It's by being in the Word. By being in the Word every single day. Again, every day you've got an opportunity. Be filled up by the Word. Be filled up by the Word. Be filled up by the Word every single day. And that time with the Lord is going to have an overflow on those we come in contact with. It's interesting, at least as I look at my life, I have the ability to prioritize returning emails, maybe get caught up on social media. It could be workout. It could be go to work. It could be get the kids to school. I am really, really good at getting those things done. But what about being in the Word? How does that fall on your priority list? And this morning, this could be all about just a reminder of how important it is starting today to bring it back to the priority which it deserves, that you would be in the Word, that you would allow God to pour into you from his endless supply. In this day and age, we must also be careful. Be careful of false teachings in the world and work hard to teach the next generation not to compromise the truth. I think it's really interesting that in Genesis 3, Satan played his hand right in Genesis 3, right out of the gate with the first temptation. He uses the phrase, "Did God really say?" Adam and Eve had some really clear directions from God. And he says, "Did God really say that?" And he changes it up just a little bit. And what's interesting is to see how that thread has continued since the beginning of time. That now we live in a day and age where, well, did God really say that? Can we really rely on that book of the Bible? Is the Old Testament really applicable? Come on, that doesn't seem right. I don't think Jesus would have really meant that. And yet each of us have as many copies as we want available. What a great country we live in. We've got as many copies one available that we can go, did God really say it? Well, let me take a look. Let me go back. Let me read. Let me make sure that I'm allowing God to pour in me each and every day. Did God really say? This is what God really said. And when somebody tries to twist it, or we live in a world where it's trying to be adjusted or even just plain discounted, we ought to be able to stand up for what God really said. And as I said before, what occurs if we are not filled up by God? It's called spiritual dehydration. And that will have negative effects on us and our ability to impact others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I started with an encouragement, then moved on to the reminder. Paul reminding us to stay filled up, to be able to have an overflow with our love, to understand what really matters so that we can live pure and blameless lives. Because it pleases God, and because our lives are going to be the greatest impact, the greatest message on those who we come in contact with, especially those who don't know Christ. Let me just think about it for a minute. The people that you come in contact with, I just want you to think about this next week, who you're going to come in contact with. How you live your life will have a greater impact on them than anything else. You're going to have an overflow. Guaranteed, there will be an overflow. The question is it an overflow of what God is doing in your life? Or is it the overflow from some other source? And I just want to caution you and remind you of how important it is to be in the Word of God daily. Last but not least, I want to finish with the challenge. And Paul challenges all in verse 11 when he says, "May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God." So when I see a phrase like "for this," that's about to explain the why again. That's the goal. The goal is that we will bring much glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, that pretty much sums it all up. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I know saw John this morning, and we were at a funeral this week, and working in ministry, you attend a lot of funerals. There's just a lot of funerals. And I can't help but be at a funeral and not ask, "God, why am I still here?" In some ways, I get a little envious of the person who is a believer who has passed on. We're all sad, but man, they're partying with Jesus. And it just seems like, you know what? I've got a really great life here on earth, and I do. I am a blessed person. And yet, it's nothing compared to what I've got waiting for me. So why, God? Why am I still here? And yet it's pretty crystal clear here. I'm here to bring much glory to God. And that my life would be a testimony to others, especially those who don't yet know yet Jesus. So, verse 11 says, "Be filled with the fruit of your salvation." Well, if the goal is to bring much glory and praise to God, and that's going to be done by being filled with the fruit of our salvation, then it's probably pretty important to take inventory of those fruits. And for most of us in this room, we probably are aware of these fruits. But it's probably a good idea this morning, again, to take some inventory. So let's look at the fruits. Galatians 5, 22-23 explains the fruits when it says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives." Here we go. There's nine of them. Love, joy, peace. Okay, we're going to get there. So patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, it's easy to go, "Whoa, like I'm like doing good in like one of the nine right now, and I'm super bummed out." And if you're thinking, "Man, I'm great with all nine, I'm golden," Turn to somebody who knows you well. They'll set you straight. Okay. But I'm going to read through those nine again. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. Maybe you've got a pen. Maybe you got your phone. Maybe you've got a really good memory. I don't know what. But I want you to just zero in on one today and circle it. What is one fruit that you say, you know what? This one's not great right now. This is the one maybe today, this week, that I really want God to do a work in me. Maybe it's love. If that's what it is, write it down. Maybe it's joy. You got joy in your life? What about patience? Peace. You got peace? Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. What's one? Pick one. If you're the person who goes, man, I got eight I got to work on, just pick one. Pick one. And maybe that's the next step for you today, is that you would allow God to really work on that one area that God says, I want you to be filled with all the fruits, because that's going to bring a whole lot of glory to me. And that's going to have an overflow on others. What's that one fruit maybe that you need to work on this week? Now, what's interesting is we got to ask the question. This one's a kind of a super interesting question for me. And the question is, can we produce these parts apart, or these fruits apart from God? There are people that I know that do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and it seems like they've got some of these fruits in their life, and that can be confusing to me. How could they have the fruit of the Spirit when they don't have the Spirit in them? Can we produce these fruits apart from God? And even for the believer who's maybe producing some of these fruits in their own flesh, can that be possible? And in John 15:5, we get a clear answer. The answer is no. Because John 15:5 says, apart from God, we can do nothing. Okay, he didn't make that's not really gray area. Apart from God, we can do nothing, which means there's such thing as a false fruit. And when I think about false fruit, I was taken back to when I used to visit my grandma's house. And my grandma used to have a bowl with fruit in it. And what was interesting is I only saw her a few times a year, but every single time I saw her, it was always the same arrangement of fruit. And it always looked the same color that I saw it last. And one of the days, my brother, I had a brother who dared me. I dared to eat one of the fruits. And as any good young man would do when he's dared, I said, okay. And I grabbed an apple. And I bit into the apple. And it hurt. Because I learned that was not real fruit. It looked like real fruit. It was a red apple, and it looked like a really good apple. And yet, it was false fruit. And we can fool ourselves into settling for false fruit. But God sees it as nothing. Nothing. It's possible that we're spending a bunch of our time doing good things apart from God, and God says, you're wasting your time. I see it as nothing. You're busy pouring out from emptiness, pouring out from something other than me. I want to fill you up. I want your good fruits to come out of the work that I'm doing in your life, that I'm pouring in your life. What is produced when we are filled with the fruit of our flesh? Really interesting to see, here's what the fruit of the Spirit looks like, but what do the fruits of our flesh look like? And in Galatians, just two verses earlier, in chapter 5, 19 and 21, we get the examples of what the fruits of the flesh are. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Once again, we've got clarity here. Sexual immorality. Impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these, which means he could have gone on and on. And you and I must read that and go, that's a lot different than today. No. This sounds like it could have been written today. And it's important that we take a moment to take inventory. Because is it possible that there is a fruit of our flesh that exists right now? I'm going to go through them one more time. I want you to be honest with yourself. Maybe there's one, maybe there's many, but let's just start with one. Maybe there's one fruit that you recognize as a fruit of your flesh. And maybe you would write it down, and that would be an area that you would ask God to take away, that you would confess. Go, oh God, I've allowed a fruit to exist that's from my flesh. Let me read through them. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Take a moment to write down which false fruit is the most abundant in your life right now. And by the way, I want to encourage you, you may need some more time. You may need to take this passage and go back later today. Spend some time asking God to really inventory these things in your life. I believe the Holy Spirit in you will reveal those things if you ask and you're attentive. Colossians 1, 9 and 10 says this. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. And as I said before, when we produce good fruit, we please the Lord and we attract non-believers to the reason that we have this hope. And so, Renew Family, I just want to end with this. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 7 through 11, you've got an encouragement. And I want to encourage you directly today, Renew. I want to encourage you, go all in. On behalf of a brother in Christ that happens to be a part of a fellowship called Big Valley Grace Community Church, we need you. We need Renew Church to have an impact in Stanislaus County. We need you. You have the ability to reach people that not every church is going to be able to reach. We need Cross Point. We need Calvary Chapel. We need Renew Church. We need, and the list goes on and on, of great Bible-believing churches in our community. And we need you. And I'm just asking you, please go all in. The kingdom depends on it. God wants to use this church in unbelievable ways. And it's going to start by allowing the word of God to overflow in your life. I'm just asking that you would go all in, that you would commit to being here, that you would commit to serving, that you would commit to being in smaller community. That's my encouragement. And the reminder that Jesus will only overflow onto others if you are daily filled up with him. Get into the word immediately. I don't want you to worry about, man, it's been a week, it's been a month. I haven't, you know, had significant time with the Lord in a year. I don't want you to worry about that. Today's a new day. And most likely, if you find yourself stuck in this area, you probably need somebody to partner with. Somebody that might be able to be an encouragement to you, hold you accountable, maybe even tell you where to start, give you a suggestion on where to start. But let today be a new day, a day that your empty cup or your half-filled cup becomes a cup that's overflowing, knowing the overflow that it's going to have is going to be an overflow of Jesus Christ. And last but not least, the challenge. Take a look at what fruit you are producing. What is one fruit? What is one fruit of your salvation that you need to focus on this week? And then what is one fruit of your flesh that you need to focus on this week and allow God to do a great work in that area? I'm going to pray and invite the worship team to come forward. Heavenly Father, I am super grateful for the clarity of your word. And Father, I want to ask on my behalf as well as everybody in this room that we would commit to being in the word. You speak to us through your word, Father, and we have it accessible to us anytime we want. We're so fortunate. Thank you for your word. And Father, again, I just pray a blessing upon Renew Church. I pray that you would just multiply its impact. Would you draw new people to this church? Would the people of this church commit? Would they go all in? And would the impact of Renew Church in this county, in this community, would it just be unbelievable? And Father, it's going to be because of you. We're going to be able to point back to you. The things that you want to do and birth in this church, even in this season of this church. Father, would you protect it? Would you protect this church from discouragement? Those who want to complain, who want to finger point, who want to draw down. Father, I just ask that you would protect this church from those places, those people. And that this would be a group that would unite as you have asked us to unite as believers. And would they know they are not doing this alone, that there are other churches, there are other believers all around this county that consider it a privilege to be co-laborers, to be partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And together we look forward to the day when you complete your work in us. You send your son Jesus Christ to take us home. And for an eternity, we're going to enjoy worshiping together. And I pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.